I'd like for us to start in prayer. I normally start a message with prayer, so if you would join me. Dear God, we thank you that you are here with us. I just sense your presence. That moment that was described as that underwater current, I would describe as the holy hush of God with us. The God who never leaves nor forsakes, but is working constantly in us and through us. So Lord, as we come together around your word, I ask that you would stir up in us what you want to show us about ourselves and reveal yourself to us in fresh and new ways, ways that empower, inspire, give us the breath of life that we need. So be with each person here. I thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. So truly, I want to thank you for inviting me to deliver the word today. I want to thank Pastor John, if you're listening to this recording later in the week, for asking me to preach. And thank you, brothers and sisters in Christ, that are all gathered here in this place, for warmly welcoming me, making me feel truly a part of the family of God that meets in this location. And receiving me as a friend and a minister of the gospel. As has already been alluded to, I met Pastor John at Leland. He was my professor. 2015, Introduction to Theological Studies, and he came and he taught the class, and I don't know if it was the first week or the second week, he told us about Rock Hop. And I thought, I have got to go to this prayer meeting. Because you see, I have a background in the vineyard, and it sounded very similar to what I have been accustomed to praying with others for God to work and move. And so I think, if I'm correct in my timing, I have been coming to various gatherings, worship services, Rock Hop, since 2015. And so it's just been a joy to be a part of that. And what you probably also don't know is I join you every Sunday or Monday or Tuesday, and I listen to the recorded message. I listen to the worship because that's a spiritual nourishment to me in my ministry that I'm just doing, what is it, 3¾ miles down the road, working to minister in the DC area as we are both called to do. And so I have been blessed over the years by your ministry of fervent prayer. I've been blessed by your prophetic words, and I have been blessed by your calling into everyone to live in the presence of our risen Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Truly, I am thankful. I'm thankful for you for being faithful to God's call upon your collective life as the Rock Church. And as individuals who are seeking God in all areas of your life. These words of the Apostle Paul expresses my heartfelt gratitude and love for the Rock Church. Paul says in this letter that we'll be reading in a bit, Philippians, he says this, I thank my God every time I remember you. In all my prayers for all of you, I always pray with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. Being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. You know, one of the remarkable things about this letter to the Philippians is how much joy it contains. Paul seems to be bubbling over with joy as he thinks about his friends in Philippi. He not only communicates this deep joy with the people there, he also calls them to live a life of joy, rejoicing in all circumstances. And at the same time, when Paul had all his joy and inner celebration pouring out of his heart, he sat in a dark, damp, dangerous jail cell. Now I want you to think about that for a moment. There was Paul, fastened with chains and confined to a prison cell in a Roman palace somewhere, and yet Paul was bubbling over with joy and thanksgiving when he thought about his friends in Philippi, feeling the love that Jesus had for him. The love that Jesus had for the Philippians. Now, before we gush over too much with this joyous emotion that Paul is expressing, let's also be aware of the believers in Philippi. We're dealing with some serious problems. Troubles that were probably overwhelming them at times. Now, we lack many of the details, but this is what we can gather from the letter itself. There were relational conflicts that took place on several fronts. In all likelihood, members of the Philippi house churches were experiencing persecution from non-believers and city officials alike. Confrontations that likely happened when believers publicly acknowledged Jesus as Lord, not Caesar. Hostilities that may have resulted in being excluded from city life, ostracized from families, and subjected to physical violence. There are cultural conflicts within the church. Old patterns of relating to one another, on seeking honor, on one-upmanship, in Roman patronage. The dominant way people viewed themselves and treated each other in a Roman province. This was the way of life across the entire Roman Empire, from the emperor all the way down to the lowliest slave. And in addition to all this, there were doctrinal conflicts within the Philippian church as well. As in Galatia, some Jewish believers said it was necessary to first become an authentic Jew before becoming a true believer in Christ. That's the backstory of why the letter was written. But Paul wanted the Philippians to fully adopt Jesus' story. Not being merely memorizing it, but living it. And by becoming a different kind of people. By resembling Jesus himself. By embodying the love Jesus has for all people. So in Philippians 1, verses 27 to 28, Paul says this in part. Whatever happens, conduct yourselves in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ, striving together as one for the faith of the gospel without being frightened in any way by those who oppose you. Now I want us to pick this up in verse 19, and we're going to read through chapter 2 up until verse 11, and I believe it will be on the screen, and I'm going to read from my Bible, and I'm reading out of the NIV, if you're curious. For it has been granted to you on behalf of Christ not only to believe in him, but also to suffer for him, since you are going through the same struggle you saw I had and now hear that I still have. Therefore, if you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, if any comfort from his love, if any common sharing in the Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion, then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in the Spirit, and of one mind, doing nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, rather, in humility, value others above yourselves, not looking for your own interests, but each of you to the interests of the other. In your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus, who, being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man. He humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. I don't know if you know this, but verses 6 to 11 are hymns from the ancient church that God led Paul to adopt to get out his message in this letter. Central to this letter. But that's really an aside. I know you're a worshiping church who loves to sing and praise God as we just did. And I just think what a change in our own hearts there would be if we sang this kind of song. I have to sing it every day personally. And how it would change us. How it would form us. You see, no one wants or likes to suffer. Did you notice that in verse 29? Did you notice how Paul calls attention to the Philippians and their suffering? In fact, he gives them a reason for their suffering. He says, "For it has been granted to you on behalf of Christ not only to believe in him, but also to suffer for him." But wait a minute, Paul. You might be saying to yourself, I know I say to myself, I want to live a pain-free life. I don't want to deal with troubles and relational turbulence. I'd rather avoid conflict and the pain that often goes along with it. I dislike facing opposition. I'd rather walk away and leave all this pain and suffering behind me. What Paul says is, through God's grace, we come to faith in Christ and we suffer for Christ. Like it or not, life as a Christian will inevitably involve suffering. Something we are to receive as a gift. Paul's not talking about meaningless suffering here, but rather the grace of suffering, which can produce something good in us. Something we cannot produce in ourselves. The grace which deepens and strengthens our dependence on God working in us and through our lives. When I suffer for something, when I suffer from something, and I may suffer for something, a breakdown in a relationship, a loss of a job, unfulfilled dreams, hopes deferred, it creates an opening for God in my life. It produces in me and in you the pain of my will not getting what it wants. It can cause me to surrender my will, like Jesus did in the Garden of Gethsemane when he prayed in Luke 22, "Father, if you are willing, take this cup from me, yet not my will, but yours be done." When you're in the midst of a conflict, and when you're suffering, it's an opportunity to surrender your will to God, to love in the way of Jesus. To embody what it means to love someone with the love of Christ. It's an opportunity for us to relate to one another in the church by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and of one mind, which is not thinking uniformly or drawing the same conclusions regarding important matters. No, it's having the same affections, the same attitudes, the same will towards each other. In other words, being like-minded is having an overriding loyalty to one another as brothers and sisters in Christ, which involves pursuing a unity of spirit and an attitude of staying together in the midst of Christ's love for us. Even as relational tensions may remain unresolved among us. Have you ever experienced that before? I know I have. I stick it out because Christ is working here. He's working in this moment, even though I don't agree with the other person and that person may not agree with me. Even though we have very different views on things, Christ is there. He's the binding force of love among us, in us, through us, around us. Humility and self-sacrifice are the markers of unity within the body of Christ. People not having to get their own way. People not having an attitude of superiority. People not forcing their opinions upon others. People not thinking highly of themselves. People exhibiting self-forgetfulness. People forgiving one another. People allowing mutual love to grow, to blossom, to bring fruit, to have maturity, because Christ is working in them and among them and through them. This is having the same mindset of Jesus. The same affections, the same attitudes, the same will as our Lord and Savior. Interactions that are characterized by love and humility. Becoming disciples, students, apprentices, learners that resemble Jesus in the way he approaches people with peace, grace, and forgiveness, in the way he moves towards people to serve them, embodying God's love in his personal presence as well in his caring actions. Like in John 13, when Jesus took off his outer clothing, wrapped a towel around his waist, poured water into a basin, and washed his disciples' feet as a slave would in the first century, stooping at their feet, coming to them in love, giving of himself by doing the lowliest of tasks, all the while knowing God had put all things under his power, knowing he had come from God and he was returning to God, and knowing his disciples didn't understand the significance of what he was doing at the time. Do we understand what it means? Do we, in our own time and place, recognize what the Lord Jesus was doing then? Do we see the love of Christ in it? A love like no other. A love which is self-denying and self-emptying. A love which puts the needs of others ahead of his own rights and privileges. A love which is ready and willing to humbly do whatever God asks of him. A love which freely and unreservedly goes all the way, even when it means being humiliated and hated while dying on a Roman cross. A love not found anywhere else. A love which is humble as it is powerful. A love which serves as it reveals its greatness. As Jesus told his confused disciples in Mark 10, whoever wants to become great among you must be your servant. And whoever wants to be first must be slave of all. For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give this life as a ransom for many. Even when Jesus' service involved being misunderstood by others, even when helping others produce pain and suffering for himself, even when the opposition to love resulted in his own death. My friends, this is what it means to love. To surrender your life to God. To live faithfully and obediently to God's call upon your life. To surrender your will for the sake of others. And as I have found, in doing so, you realize you don't have the strength on your own. It's not there. It's so limited. Admitting my own weaknesses and dependence on God. Like Paul says in 2 Corinthians 12:9, I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses, so that Christ's power may rest on me. And I have found I also have to choose to take Paul's words to heart when he says to the Philippians, just after the passage we read, continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God who works in you to will and to act in order to fulfill his good purposes. which makes known the power of Christ's love through your life, revealing God's work of love for all who have eyes to see it and ears to hear it, glorifying God in Christ as Lord over all things, exalting Christ with your words as well as with your life. And by depending on God, the great energizer, that's what it says when they talks about God working in you. It could be translated the God, the energizer God, which is beyond the energizer bunny, far beyond the energizer bunny, but that might be helpful. The energizer God who works in you, who transforms lives and shows Jesus' way of love, is trustworthy and real. The God who wants to work within you and me to bring his shalom life into our communities. God who can change our wills and our attitudes and our actions when we give him permission to do so. I've been praying recently, God, go into the chambers of my heart that I haven't opened up to you and I don't even know. The room, sometimes this is referred to the interior rooms of your castle, opening up all the rooms. And I know this church talks about houses and rooms. Open up the rooms in my own heart, that closet I've kept locked. Shut away. Whatever might be, I know we were worshiping and idols came up. That's usually, I put it in a closet somewhere. Say, God, you can't go in there. Open up the chambers of my heart. Give him permission. God, who will work through us in order to display his great love for people everywhere. Which prepares us for when revival comes to our lands. When a fresh outpouring of God's Spirit comes through the nameless and the faceless. Through people just like us. People without name recognition or a platform. People who value others above ourselves. People not looking to our own interests, but to the interests of others. People living in unity and with humility. People who are rooted and built up in Christ Jesus as Lord, strengthened in faith as we were taught, and overflowing with thankfulness. One of the characteristics of Rock Church. A church who expresses thankfulness. So many times Pastor John has been up here and begins a prayer of thanksgiving. And so many times I'm like, yes, Lord, start me off with thanksgiving. Thank you, Lord. People who embody the love of Christ for the sake of the world. Shining like stars in the sky as we hold firmly to the word of life. You're meant to glow. I don't know if you know that. You are meant to be glowers of God's glory, the presence of God. You are the presence carriers. I know you know that because that gets preached all the time. And if you're carrying God's presence, you are going to shine like lights in the dark world. And you know what? You can't hide it. I have discovered that. People will approach you in public. I'm just speaking from my personal experience. One of my first luncheons with Pastor John, I said, Pastor, there is something going on and I don't understand it. Can you explain it to me? So he took me out to lunch. And I said, these people just come up and start talking to me out of the blue. And it's not just this hello, it's they start to tell you what they're going through. And he said, you know, Jim, you carry the presence of God and they know you're a safe person. And they know that there's a love there, and they're drawn, their own spirit is drawn to God even though they couldn't explain it. That's the aroma of Christ. Just like the brightness of Christ. I know this is I would call it a foodie church. So for some people, I do think it's that smell of good food. The aroma of Christ that people are going to come to you, and it is the light of Christ that people are going to approach you as well. But it's just not in the approaching people. It's as you go, as you leave this place. See, it's that love of Christ. It's that humility of Christ. That the power of God shows up. And I'll just speak personally, but I think this is fair to say for those here in the DC area, we have an idea of power that's all mixed up because we live in the shadow of power, but it's not the way of power of God. Jesus is that way. It is the releasing of my will for God's will. And that power is right there. Will you join me in prayer? Dear God, you love this church. I love this church. And I don't really know the inner workings of this church. And I know you do. And I'm never really sure when you preach to places that you don't know the details, why it is you put a passage on my heart, on other preachers' hearts. And so, God, I just pray that the word that you've given and that I have done my best to proclaim and to share and to speak into the lives of Rock Church, collectively as well as individuals, that it would be received and it would do the work that you intend for it, because your word does not return null and void. And even in the preaching of it, I just release it and I rest because I know you're doing the work, doing what only you can do. So be with us, Lord, as we sing this next worship song. Be with us. Help us to open our hearts to you. Help us to put away the distractions, whether it's just our concerns that are in our minds right now. Maybe memories that have come up that are kind of, we're thinking through, we're working through. God, help us to rest. Rest in you as we worship you. That's what it will be like in glory with you. We'll be worshiping you not as restless people, but as fully rested people. So be with us as we worship. As we're ministered through song, led by this beautiful, talented woman, to help direct our hearts, our minds, our bodies, our spirits, everything about us to you.